Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Let's begin with the latest COVID numbers. Malaysia reported 40 new COVID cases today in the past 24 hours, continuing the trend of recoveries exceeding infections. About 95 people were discharged from hospitals today. So some good news to kick off the show. Now, the first phase of efforts to allow more than 1,100 students in public and private universities to return to their hometowns will also begin tonight. The exercise will involve students from 9 universities travelling in about 50 buses to 17 destinations nationwide. Now, it feels like a mammoth effort, Sharad. But it looks, at least on the surface, to be one that has been well planned so far.
Yeah, you know, it's a question of logistics. It's also a question of the standards of safety that, you know, we can now see demonstrated, right? So the question is, those students who have been in some sort of quarantine, I understand some universities, students were encouraged not to meet with each other and socialize too much. And so, you know, now returning to those green zones where their homes are located.
Well, you know, the kind of SOP that's gone behind this, they're, you know, looking at buses and all luggage to be sanitized even before departure. They've already sorted out the food and saying that there's not going to be any breaks in between. Just toilet breaks, so they're not going to be stopping for food. I think that's been in a sense they've coordinated this well. We'll have to see tomorrow what happens. But I'm wondering if this is kind of the first part of letting people travel interstate, whether we can maintain this kind of tight control, this tight grip on interstate travel as we look to open up from ease restrictions of the MCO.
Well, clearly, you know, this is one expression of the easing up to some extent. There are, of course, other related issues which have to do with the fact that many students will continue with their education. How will they do so from their hometowns? Right. I understand that some students, I mean, just from an anecdotal point of view, some students are staying put in those campuses because they feel the facilities there are better. Some of them even feel perhaps safer in their universities than they would be in their hometowns or in their homes. So a range of responses, but to some extent, I mean, if people are being given a choice, and I think this is something that rarely gets discussed, I mean, to what extent Malaysians are being asked if they, you know, and to make active choices about their own sense of where they should be and their own risk assessments.
You mean to be asked to put the question to everyday Malaysians whether they think they should be travelling, you know, in case they are asymptomatic carriers, for instance?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, the question is, I think, Melissa, at the end of the day, you know, what extent are we encouraging a real public debate around these issues that everybody's kind of levelled up? And people are making informed choices, as opposed to saying that we, you know, sort of give everything up to the experts to make decisions. And I know, because there are a lot of cynics out there who don't put much trust in the public to make the right or rational decision. And perhaps they're right too. I mean, you know, there are many instances of people have not acted particularly rationally or in the interest of the larger public. But again,
you're very generous in your assessment,
well,
Sharad. I have to say, very generous.
We want to be a democracy or not. I mean, if you live in a democracy, then your standards in terms of eliciting the active consent of individuals who form that society, very important.
Okay.
Is that a question that or a point at which we're going to arrive at in this MCO?
Well, that's, I think, something that's going to be open to debate, and also we would love to hear, you know, the thoughts around this question. But first, let's turn our attention to what's happening internationally. I think it's quite interesting to look at New Zealand. Now, the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, has said that New Zealand has stopped community transmission of COVID-19 and that the virus was currently eliminated from the country. New cases have been in the single figures for the last several days now. Yesterday, New Zealand recorded only one case of COVID. And this all comes as New Zealand is, of course, about to relax some of its social restrictions. They're going to move from level 4 lockdown to level 3. That means that most businesses will be able to reopen. including some non-essential businesses, healthcare, education activities are looking to resume as well.
You know, that's fascinating because New Zealand has been, in some sense, quite exemplary, both from the conduct of its government to the conduct of people, at least what we read in the newspapers. If you remember those cases of, you know, politicians who had broken the lockdown rules, who offered to resign and such. And because of Malaysia, we now have some development on that story too, with,
yes,
you know, the deputy health minister and I believe one member of the executive,
yes, so,
exco from Perak, potentially being charged for violations of the MCO. Mm.
Deputy Health Minister Dr. Nur Azmi Ghazali and Perak State Exco Razman Zakaria are expected to be charged with breaching the MCO. Again, you know, looking at New Zealand, they've been praised for, again, Jacinda Ardern doing, making speeches from her living room sofa in, you know, faded sweatshirt. So really kind of complying with the MCO. We're seeing that even the leaders of the highest levels in Australia, in New Zealand, complying with this very strict lockdown. But also in terms of they're being praised for the clarity on messaging. Now, I like this idea of the tiered opening up, right? So they've got different stages of their lockdown. And I wonder whether Malaysia could also communicate something similar, perhaps not an entire lifting of the MCO, but rather at what stages are we considering opening up the restrictions?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, you're right about the clarity, the messaging, and you know, coming back to the case of those two individuals, remember, they tried to get away with it by apologising. I'm not entirely sure how many people on the street at these roadblocks get away by apologising. Maybe they do, because they're not the first offender. Police perhaps, you know, using their discretion to decide whether to charge people, repeat offenders, often people who are hauled up. But for the government of the day, it looked very bad when individuals, especially politicians, seemed to get away with violations. And I think to see that this is reversed, at least it's taken a bit of time, Melissa,
yeah,
you know, for these guys to be charged. I mean, everybody else seems to be charged on the spot. But so now you have at least a sense that the political elite are being disciplined to follow precisely the rules that they set for others.
And I agree.
And that can't be a bad thing.
Well, we'll have to keep a close eye on this. I do want to point out, though, as leaders across the country, across the globe, are thinking about easing restrictions of their respective lockdowns. I mean, we spoke about New Zealand, but also, I believe, Italy, Spain, Iran, Australia, all looking to kind of ease some sort of restrictions. We turn to look at Hokkaido in Japan as an example. Hokkaido lifted their restrictions after several weeks, saying that after 3 weeks, they said that the lockdown was working, and they lifted restrictions. Now, a second wave of infection hit the island harder, and that 26 days later, Hokkaido forced back into lockdown. All these are considerations that leaders will have to bear in mind as they make those difficult decisions. Now, we're going to take a quick break here on Consider This, but after this, we're going to continue that conversation we began last week regarding the Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture's response to the challenges faced by the creative economy. So stay tuned to Consider This.